T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, it's lying season, Perloff, and I don't believe a word of what's coming out of the owners' meetings. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. The idea that because Jim Harbaugh is caping so hard for his former quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, that is actually moving the needle, I don't believe any of this. I
don't either. I think the needle had already moved on its own. This has nothing to do with Harbaugh.
Okay, well, first let's get you up to speed. So the owners' meeting's happening in Orlando. Jim Harbaugh clearly trying to set up his guy, J.J. McCarthy. He said he's the best quarterback in the history of Michigan football. Already said that. Now he said McCarthy had the best pro day he's ever seen.
That was the best I've ever seen a quarterback do at a pro day. I mean, not only was his feet great in the individual drills, but then he started throwing, and it was like every throw was, you know, right there. I thought our receivers did a great job too. They all had a great day, but that was the best throwing day I've ever seen.
Okay, there's nothing that's like only medium for Jim Harbaugh. Everything's the best ever, right?
Yeah, who's got it better than us at pro days?
Yeah, nobody. So that coupled with a report from Tom Pelissero from the NFL Network, and he said, when I've had conversations with executives from other teams who know Adam Peters, the new general manager of the Washington Commanders, who are picking second overall, who know the situation, the most popular answer for what they do at number two is J.J. McCarthy. I cannot believe that these executives are all telling the truth on this. I think there are agendas. I think agendas are agendaing, as EJ would say. I don't believe that everyone is just arriving at this. I find this very, very difficult to believe, and I will not forget it is lying season. I'm just a blatant skeptic on this.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I'm come around on J.J. McCarthy. I do think the NFL really liked, first of all, it's nothing to do with Harbaugh's comment. Probably has nothing to do with the pro day either. The pro days, we have a bunch of pro days this week. They're somewhat meaningless. Any quarterback can throw in shorts. I think the NFL has been high on J.J. McCarthy for a while. Here's the thing. All year long and all draft season long, it's been 1, 2, 3, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, or Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels as the top three quarterbacks, top three picks.
Yep.
What on earth has the draft intelligentsia known what the top three picks are? It never, ever, ever happens that way. So basically the media takes a lot of guesses in January and February. The teams haven't even set their boards by then. I think that it's more likely that the media has been wrong this whole time and that it's a different order. And I don't think people care in the NFL about his stats in college because we have a lot of evidence that stats in college do not translate to the NFL and teams don't necessarily care. I mean, Jordan Love had a terrible last year. Josh Allen had a terrible last year. Right. You go through a lot of first rounders did not produce in their last season, and it's totally fine. The NFL does not seem to care that much.
Okay, well, Will Levis didn't have a good final season, and he did slip to the second round. So there's both sides of this thing. Now, I should mention that J.J. McCarthy's odds to be selected with a second overall pick have now jumped, like, dramatically because of this. Okay, so here's the question, though. Even if the counting stats are not there with McCarthy, right? Because that's the thing. The counting stats aren't going to be there because Michigan did not have a passing attack. So what are you looking at, or what do you think they are looking at where they're saying, oh, I've got all of this, you know, evidence that he is going to be this great NFL quarterback?
Well, I mean, a couple of things we know about J.J. McCarthy. He's athletic. He clearly has a big arm. He's got plenty of size. I mean, I guess, what is he, 6'2", but there's no issue there. He's more accurate than Drake May. Drake May was all over the place this year. Right. We saw Drake May throw in the dirt way too many times. He's thicker than Jaden Daniels, so that's a downside. He's not Caleb Williams. But the only downside on him, I mean, he was a gigantic recruit. What can't he do? He just can't throw 40 times a game in Michigan. But right. I think people are like, oh, well, that's Michigan.
Okay,
so it's a situational thing.
Okay, I get that. But again, like, if you aren't giving that many opportunities to throw, then I get you're efficient when you do throw the football, and he was good when he did throw. But if I did ask him to throw 40 times, what do you think it would look like?
Oh, I mean, I think he would have big numbers.
Wouldn't there be more warts too? Like, you're talking about Drake May.
Yeah.
If it was really this more passing attack, wouldn't there be more opportunities for mistakes to happen and things like that? It's hard to just say because he was efficient in a small sample size that if you had expanded out, he would have the same numbers.
Let's compare him to Will Levis, for example. Will Levis, last 2 years, 24 touchdowns, 13 picks in his junior year, then 19 touchdowns, 10 picks his senior year. J.J. McCarthy, 22-5 his sophomore year, and 22-4 last year. Or actually, I guess I can't remember. Was he a redshirt? Anyway, he has very, very efficient numbers. So there's reason to believe if he had thrown more, he still would have completed 70% of his passes. Didn't throw a lot of picks. Much cleaner than, I think he's actually cleaner than Drake May. If you project it forward, why wouldn't he have good numbers? I'm not sure where these warts would come from.
Well, I'm just saying, I said Will Levis slipped because you're talking about people who had bad years and they still were able to be drafted high. And I said Will Levis didn't have a good year and he wasn't drafted high. They thought he was going to be a first round pick and everyone was wrong about that. And he sat in the green room and was embarrassed. And I wouldn't want that same fate to happen to J.J. McCarthy. And let's be honest. I mean, the team that J.J. McCarthy had around him at Michigan, not just the running attack, which Will Levis didn't have that his last year, the offensive line where you have one of his tackles is probably going to be a top 10 pick, maybe definitely first round, and you had the best defense in college football. I mean, I don't want to say things were easy for J.J. McCarthy, and I don't think he should be necessarily docked for that, but this dude was on an amazing team.
I don't think it's an amazing passing team. I mean, listen, he had a run first coach. I mean, if you want an amazing passing offense, look over on the next door to Ohio State. Like, it's not like Ryan Day and all these receivers were. He did not have this. He was not set up to throw 40 touchdowns because it's not their style. Also, they didn't really have that kind of personnel.
No. What I'm saying is he benefited from the fact that there were games where Michigan's opponent couldn't get past the four. They're on 40.
Right. That's why they won. But that doesn't mean that he wasn't a good quarterback when he was on the field. I'm just saying, like, he was not. He didn't have all these great receivers around him. Remember, we were dating C.J. Stroud in the draft. We were like, oh my God, I could go out there and throw to those guys. J.J. McCarthy wasn't in that situation. Wasn't easy. It wasn't set up for passing success. It was set up to win a lot of football games.
Sure.
Absolutely. I agree with you. That was the defense. That was the run game. I mean, talk about the run game. You had to stack the box against Michigan. So those are all negatives. But I think it's an imperfect draft after Caleb Williams. He's perfect. But after that, you're guessing. I can see why J.J. McCarthy's right in the mix with Jaden Daniels and Drake May. Now, in my opinion, Jaden Daniels should be the number two. It should be no doubt about it.
Yeah, you and
then
I
you have a big, big
together.
McCarthy. I could see a McCarthy-May debate.
So this is, though, directly linking the Washington Commanders, report, directly linking the Washington Commanders, who picked second overall.
Right.
So unless you think they're trading out of that pick, which would be a dicey proposition, but if they think that somebody else wants to, you know, jump up for Jaden Daniels, maybe you could do that kind of thing. I don't know if the Washington Commanders would get that cute. If this report is true, and again, I don't believe it. We always forget it's lying season. Well, we don't forget, but you want to believe these fun things, and I see your point that maybe everyone was wrong about the first three quarterbacks.
Right, why would you believe that?
Well, the reason why I believe that, actually, I don't know if I believe that. But
I mean, there's a report. Daniel Jeremiah had a report that one GM told him that Adam Peters, the GM, loves Drake May. Everybody
That's
else
what I'm
on
saying.
Earth has linked Jaden Daniels. Every mock draft has Jaden Daniels at number two. Why not believe the J.J. McCarthy thing? It could be one of a series of lies, but the other ones might be lies too.
Yeah, I guess maybe I just staunchly don't believe any of it. I think what you and I and where the conversation is best served is, do you think that J.J. McCarthy is worthy of the second overall pick? Whatever that means. I know Zach Wilson was a second overall pick. Our pal Ryan was a second overall pick. There's a lot of times you can be a second overall pick and it can go sideways. But does he deserve to be, all things being equal, Does he deserve to be drafted higher than Jaden Daniels?
I'm not sure. What do you mean deserve?
Well, I guess if you were making a quarterback in a lab, or you needed a quarterback for your franchise.
Deserve is the wrong word.
Yeah, deserve is the wrong word.
Who's going to be a better NFL quarterback?
Yeah.
I prefer Jaden Daniels myself because I saw it, and the guy is dominant in every possible way. He runs like Lamar Jackson and throws like, his arm is amazing. So, and he's done everything you could possibly do. I think Jaden Daniels is going to be a star. I think there's concern about durability,
sure,
which I understand. But for McCarthy, the teams see something different. They see potential, and they like untapped potential, and that's how coaches are. So they probably see, well, you know what? He never threw the ball in the second half against Penn State. But they think, ooh, if I could get this guy with those tools into my building, that's what this game is. Coaches think that they can coach up guys who have the physical tools. J.J. McCarthy obviously has that. I mean, you watch him. No one said, oh, the guy can't throw. There's not a pass he can't throw. So I think the question is a lack of production, and NFL teams always look past that. They don't really care what you did at college. We're talking about, there's a Penn State alum in the bullpen over here. Penn State defensive ends never get a single sack. Chop Robinson did nothing in college, and yet he's going to be a first-rounder because he can run a 4.5 40. The coaches love physical potential, and that's what this is. They don't care about college production. Will you agree with that part?
I think it's probably split, actually. I think that's why you see guys like Lamar Jackson fall to the end of the first round. I think that some people,
right,
like, you know, what they saw, like a Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield and the stats and,
right,
the big-time numbers, and I think some are willing to go for guys who maybe are a little bit more raw.
I hear you.
Or whatever. Not that Lamar was raw. I'm thinking more like that Josh Allen was raw.
The name that jumps to my mind, Kenny Pickett. I mean, he could not have had better stats. He had 42 touchdowns and 7 picks his senior year.
Right, so we know where the Steelers lie on
that. Right. I just think that it's very easy to get fooled by this gigantic production in college. That being said, I just said I love Jaden Daniels. You're right. There's no steadfast rule. But there are guys who do not produce, who jump up. And we're like, how did that happen? Because the coaches see the potential.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. So you're welcome to weigh in on J.J. McCarthy. Do you think he'll be the best pro out of this class, the second best? Maybe is Caleb a little in a category all his own?
Well, that, I don't think that's the debate. The debate is, will he go number two? Is that, because that seems crazy. I think if you're going to put a poll question up, BJ, do you think J.J. McCarthy will go number two in the draft? And I imagine 95% will say no.
I think so, because we watched him.
But we just heard Tom Pelissero had a poll at the owners' meeting when those guys are probably closer to the situation, and it seems like 70% of them say yes. So it's an interesting dichotomy here. What's really going on?
Can I also just say something? I'm going to plant my flag here a little bit, which is, I don't know about this class.
Of what?
Of quarterbacks. Oh. Outside of Caleb. And this is,
really?
You and I are going to disagree about this because, first of all, like many years, you have a lot of these guys, if it does go quarterbacks 1, 2, 3, 4, let's say, or even just say it's 1, 2, 3. Not everyone's stepping into a great situation. That's always true. It's hard to change your fortunes right away when you're getting, obviously, if you're taking this high in the draft, picking this high, your team stinks, you know? So I think a lot of guys are walking into situations that are really unsettled. Washington Commanders, new ownership group, couldn't be worse than the last group.
Ooh, I kind of like everything the Commanders are doing, but go ahead.
Okay, but again, you've got, you know, Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury.
That's pretty good.
Okay.
Well, Dan Quinn, I mean, at least he's an experienced guy.
No, I like Quinn. I'm just saying.
That feels like an actually strangely solid choice by the Commanders.
It could be. I was wondering why Dan Quinn was getting passed over for some of these jobs that he was allegedly linked to after the Cowboys defense was awesome year,
yeah,
after year after year. Anyway, new ownership group, so there's just a little bit there that is a wild card and all of that. Then you're talking about the New England Patriots. So you move on from Brady, it doesn't look great. Now you're moving on from Belichick. There's just a lot of uncertainty in that organization right now. I think the stability of the Patriots, that is something of the past now. Now they're just like every other team who's going to make mistakes and who may take a minute to settle on some of these new positions in terms of the front office and coaching staff. So, and then who knows what four is going to be.
Yeah, well, three is a disaster. There's no doubt about that. The Patriots, you do not want to go there. And maybe they won't take a quarterback for that very reason. But Washington has Terry McLaurin. They have Jahan Dotson. They just signed Austin Eckler.
If it was that easy, why haven't they had any success?
Because I'm telling you, Adam Peters is going to be a great GM, I think. I mean, no one's gotten more buzz over the league than their new GM, Adam Peters. Comes from San Francisco. Everyone thinks he's going to be solid. The Commanders, I think, raised their floor because they signed a lot of veterans. They got Frankie Louvu, who everybody wanted, Jeremy Chinn, Bobby Wagner. They brought in a lot of veterans on defense. So they're paying up on defense to at least be respectable. So that gives them bottom line. But, I mean, that's not a bad set of weapons. It's not the worst offensive line. I think Commanders could work. I don't think New England could work at all. They have nobody.
Well, and then if we just backtrack it up to the number one overall pick, it's a Chicago Bears team that, you know, has weapons, has come along nicely, but I don't think you and I both don't believe in Eberflus, the head coach, and the Bears have had a 100-year history of not being able to develop quarterbacks.
Yeah, the counter-argument is this is the best situation a number one has ever had because they weren't supposed to be number one. They were 7-10 last year, so at least Caleb joins a near 500 team. It's not the that is definitely not the worst situation we've ever seen for number one. He's not Kyler Murray going to the Cardinals. You know, you're right. Maybe I'm being glass half full here. I think this classic could be awesome because I think Michael Penix is going to be a star.
Well, and he's where's gonna be going, the, though?
Unless he goes.
You can't say Raiders, it doesn't matter. It
yeah,
definitely matters.
You're right, it does. The Raiders scares me, but whoever hooks up with Sean Payton has a good chance to put up numbers. I think this is going to be a great class. And I think next year's class, everything you hear is not going to be a great year. I think this is it. If you need a quarterback, take it out. You don't like Penix and Nix and Drake May. Drake May's going to be good too. Watch the highlights of that dude. I was just criticizing him earlier, but he's big and mobile and has a gun. This is going to be a great class.
I'm getting a little nervous. Some of the guys, the X's, the Nix and the Penix.
Anthony Richardson threw 14 touchdowns entire career,
it's
and he was the number four. I mean, these guys are definitely way farther along than he was.
Okay, but Richardson had what you were talking about earlier, which was what? Potential.
Potential, yes.
Right, okay. Nix and Penix are guys who are in college for 6 years, right? We saw, did they get better because they got better? Or
no,
did they get
Michael Penix at Indiana was amazing.
Well, but kept getting hurt, right?
Right. But I think medical science is going to help Penix. I think he's going to get past that.
The bionic man. I hope so, because I love watching him play. But did they get better because they were getting better? Or, like, for Nix, for example, did he get better just because all of a sudden he found himself being more experienced and older than other people in college? Like, when you're 25, how old's Penix? No, 23. You're 23, you're still playing against 19-year-olds and 20-year-olds. You just have institutional knowledge, and your age helps you in a way that's not going to help you in the NFL.
Yeah, but, I mean, fair. But those guys have pretty big arms. I mean, you can't ignore that. Just watch them. Nobody throws a prettier deep ball than Michael Penix. And Penix, again, he was amazing at Indiana. I just think nobody thought he could stay healthy. Two knee surgeries on both knees. Yeah, I think that the arthritic knee is a concern. And that if he does fall, I'll bet you it's going to be a 50% hit rate. I bet you we get at least three Pro Bowlers out of this class, which is a gigantic quarterback class. Usually, look at the Zach Wilson draft. I mean, it was
not looking great.
Trevor, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones. We would have thought that was a good class. I think everyone was into that class. This class is going to be way better than that. It can't be worse, Maggie. How can it be worse than the Zach Wilson class?
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. So, J.J. McCarthy, do you think he's going to go number two overall to the Commanders? That is the new, it's not even a rumor. It's like a informed rumor.
You know, there's odds on all this, and it's jumping. As I think you mentioned, the J.J. McCarthy odds have jumped big time.
All right, coming up, your phone calls, of course. Again, 855-212-4CBS. We say good morning to our CBS Sports Radio affiliates. Thank you for being with us. You can find us on the absolutely free-to-download Odyssey app. It's crystal clear. It's awesome. You can hit rewind. It's just so functional. We're on Sirius XM channel 158. And if you'd like to watch the show, because hot damn, we are good looking. YouTube.com/CBS Sports Radio, Twitch.tv/CBS Sports Radio. Coming up, we update our bracket of one hit wonders, March Madness, Maggie and Perloff style next.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. Now, I know you and Pipilotti have a close relationship on 80s movies.
Yeah, we do.
But me and Pipilotti, I think, are more music twins because all weekend long we played 80s one-hit wonders in my house. And my wife's really into our one-hit wonders bracket. Most of all the good one-hit wonders come from the 80s because I think these days, if you have one hit, you're likely to have more or something. I don't know. They just don't do the bangers from the early 80s.
Oh, I thought it was cocaine.
I don't know what it was. It
you just, get famous, you get rich off a one-hit wonder, and all of a sudden the lifestyle. Although Rick James had many hits, so I guess that's not a one-size-fits-all.
Rick James had many hits?
Oh, absolutely. He had Mary Jane. He had Super Freak.
He had Super Freak.
And Mary Jane.
Okay, it's not like...
what you know about Mary? Mary Jane. Well, yeah, the White Album has been a different thing.
I don't know. You know, I was also wondering, Kool and the Gang, really, we know for Celebration. I know they were a giant band.
Jungle Boogie.
Okay, I know, but I just think that you guys put Simple Minds on there for Don't You Forget About Me, and they have a ton of hits.
Yeah, but you said in the UK. We didn't know about them.
They had 5 top 10 singles in the US.
Why didn't you mention this when the bracket came out?
Well, I did. No, I told you, Don't Forget About Alive and Kicking, and you're like, what the hell are you talking about?
So this is the March Madness, Maggie and Perloff style. We're doing a bracket of one-hit wonders. I'm glad that your wife is enjoying this so much. I hope she's voting.
Yeah, she's into everything right now. She's got a women's bracket, a men's bracket. She was sweating last night's Iowa game.
She's
totally into it.
Not more than the executives at ESPN.
But she's fully in. We might have to have her on as a guest. She has strong thoughts on the one-hit wonders.
Okay, great. She's welcome. So we are going to update our bracket of one-hit wonders, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. Okay, so this is the round of 32. What region is this, CJ? Is this our last call region? So thank you so much. You guys voted, and now here are the results. And now you can vote again to see who moves on to the Sweet 16. So in this bracket, the last call region of the Maggie and Perloff one-hit wonders bracket, the number one overall seed in this region moves on. It's Baby Got Back.
I like big butts, and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. Now when a girl walks in with an itty-bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull up tough?
All right, that goes up against 8-seeded Kung Fu Fighting.
It was Kung Fu Fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening.
All right, the Maggie and Perloff bracket of one-hit wonders. We're in the last call region. Number 5-seed, 99 Luft Balloons. With
German version.
Can we get a translator?
These are second round matchups?
Yes.
This is tough.
I know. It's a heavy bracket. The 5th seed, 99 Luft Balloons, goes up against 4th seeded, Who Let the Dogs Out? Mm. Who Let the Dogs Out? Who? Who Let the Dogs Out?
That's the sound of street cred leaving the building.
Who Let the Dogs Out? Who? Last... Yep, and it only got worse from there. Getting some nice voiceover work from that, by the way. Number 11 seed in this region, Closing Time.
I know who I want to take me home. I know who I want to take me home.
You're welcome, America. That will now be stuck in your head for the rest of the day, unless it's replaced by the 14 seed, Play That Funky Music. Okay, and the final matchup in this region, 10th seed,
8675309.
And that goes up against the 2nd seed, Come Clean.
Come on, Eileen.
Come on, Eileen. It says Come Clean here. I'm like, who is Come Clean?
Oh, I swear, baby, at this moment, you need everything. You need that dress, boy, for something.
Clearly, they say Come Clean.
Yeah, that's a no-hit wonder, Come Clean.
Because I always think, how do people read stuff on air that they haven't first read through? How do people get, go bleep yourself, San Diego?
Yeah, I was about to say,
Ron
Burgundy.
To professional broadcasters.
You're Ron Burgundy.
It just happened to me.
The number 2 seed, Come Clean.
So who's the professional broadcaster here? Clearly not me. By the way, come on, Eileen.
Those are two. That could be the final matchup.
867-539.
Everybody loves that song, and everyone loves Come On, Eileen. Come On, Eileen is like when you see a commercial about one-hit wonders, that's the song they play.
Yeah. I really go back to the committee criticisms. That's a tough. Those two shouldn't be this close in round two. This deserves a Sweet 16 or an Elite 8 matchup.
I think we failed to acknowledge the power of the 80s in this contest. It does seem
they're well represented in this bracket.
Maybe not. Yeah, but it almost seems like every one-hit wonder comes from it. I think VH1 had a big say in this.
Possibly. And now you have a say in it because you can go to @MaggieandPearl and on Twitter and you can vote to see who moves on to the Sweet 16. Andrew Bogish is here with headlines. Hello.
Hello again. So the Iowa Hawkeyes made just one field goal during the fourth quarter last night, but they hit 14 free throws, and they fought off West Virginia 64-54 to return to the Sweet 16. Caitlin Clark scoring 32 in her final home game.
To me, this is like one of the hardest rounds in the NCAA tournament. Everybody's really good. You're expected to win. You're on your home court. We have all the pressure in the world. They have absolutely nothing to lose to come in here and upset us. And, you know, that happened my sophomore year. Last year, we were in a game that was even closer than this one.
This win sets up a meeting with Colorado in Albany on Saturday. UCLA is surviving a close game, 67-63 over Creighton. The second-seeded Bruins will see LSU in Albany this weekend. And UConn held off Syracuse yesterday, 72-64 for its spot in the Sweet 16. The Huskies will face Duke in Portland this weekend. Without men's games yesterday, we got coaching news instead. Stanford hiring Washington State's Kyle Smith, the reigning Pac-12 coach of the year. Danny Sprinkle goes from Utah State to Washington, and Vandy chose JMU's Mark Byington.
Hey, sorry, did you see the Pac-12, because they're doing so well in this tournament, that they get paid out? You know, like, you get paid out as a conference when your teams do well in the tournament. And so now Washington State and Oregon State are getting like $20 million.
Good for them.
Just because like Arizona is doing well in the tournament.
Where does that money go now?
To the conference.
Yeah.
Two schools.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if the actual executives or whatever got a payout from it.
Well, maybe some administrative fees and stuff.
Yeah, because that would suck.
No, the thing that you get that
is annoying. It's Ipe Mizuhara as their new commissioner, deputy commissioner.
Is like the AD getting a $500K bonus for a Sweet 16. And what did he do to make that happen?
Oh, yeah. College administrators are just, they have the lowest approval rating probably in America.
Yep. Like, both sides of the aisle have been dunking on college sports for the last 5 years.
And we're going to ADs. I'm talking about even just like the people who do your registrar at your college. Like, does anybody, like any college administrator?
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm sure it's a tough job, but they don't really seem to please anyone.
Well, also, it escalates quickly, you know, because all of a sudden you never know what's coming when it's a college campus. Because you could have controversies just around every corner, whether it's athletic stuff, whether it's political stuff. I mean, being on a college campus right now can be kind of dicey.
We're not going to get too into this, but I have a close relative who works at a college campus. Apparently, for every professor, there is 9 administrators on every college campus now. And as EJ said, it's harder to get any of them to do absolutely anything. Okay, I will drop that.
Okay, thanks. The Boston Celtics in their 9-game win streak went to Atlanta last night, built a 68-38 second quarter lead, and lost to the Hawks 121-118. Head coach Joe Mazzulla, matter of fact, post game.
We got off to a really good start, but it's a good lesson when you let a team hang around. And you know, they made those margin plays, you know, points off turnovers, 3-pointers, offensive rebounds. And credit to them for, you know, battling back.
It's like he doesn't care. DeAndre Hunter, Atlanta.
Wait, this game was where?
In Atlanta, up 30, lost by 2. And he's like, yeah, you know, they made the margin plays. No biggie. See you Thursday.
I was just like, when did the Celtics get to town?
Oh, you're thinking they had too much fun in Atlanta?
A little bit in Atlanta.
I don't know.
A little Sunday night action in Atlanta, at least with a bad Monday night on the court. That's in play.
I could definitely see that.
I'm just saying, so they were in Chicago. Whatever. It doesn't matter. They lost.
DeAndre Hunter led Atlanta with 24 last night. He and the Hawks keep their 5.5-game lead on the Nets for the last play-in spot in the East. Brooklyn, a 96-88 win over the ghost of Rafer Alston in Toronto, Dick Bridges scoring 13 for the Nets.
For the Crates.
I love that. Perloff thinks Dick Bridges, like, that's a regular name. Wait, like, right. Is it?
Can we just back up here a second? You're giving that. You said the Nets are five games out of the
five and a half.
They're 27-45. Do we even need to mention them here, or is this a pro Nets bias here?
No, this is actually a pro Hawks update because they keep their lead, their safe lead for that last playoff spot.
Man, how is the East awful? You have nothing but like title contenders in the play-in in the West, and the East, oof.
And what I saw this morning. The Lakers right now are 39-22, I believe, or something.
39-32.
That would have been, this time last year, they would have been fourth in the West with that record. And this year, they're ninth.
It's stacked.
That's how good the West is.
Totally stacked.
Yeah.
I love how the problem is regular season games in the NBA. Meanwhile, we have teams that are 27-45 still in the playoff hunt.
Right. And again, the balance is unbelievable. The East play-in is completely unnecessary. The right. Hawks don't need to be in the postseason. The West has like 18 All-Stars mm-hmm. and five future Hall of Famers out of those four teams. Like the yep. Suns are the eighth best yeah. team in the West right now.
Counter argument, the Heat are actually seven. They're in the play-in, and they will be in the NBA Finals,
heat
of course.
Culture.
Because of Heat culture. Yeah.
No chance.
Luka Doncic had 29 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists in Dallas' 115-105 win in Utah. The Nuggets took care of the Grizzlies, 128-103, improving to 15-2 since the All-Star break. And the Wizards had their first three-game winning streak since January of 2023, thanks to a 107-105 victory in Chicago. Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel said yesterday his team has made an offer to free agent wideout Odell Beckham Jr. And in addition to banning the swivel hip drop tackle, NFL owners yesterday tweaking the coaches' challenge rules. Coaches now earn a third challenge if they're right on one of the first two tries, not on both. In non-Shohei Ohtani baseball news, Yankee infielder DJ LeMahieu, Toronto closer Jordan Romano starting the season on IL with foot and elbow issues, respectively. A huge win for the Golden Knights last night, 2-1 in OT over the Blues. Vegas now leads St. Louis by 5 points for the last wild card spot out West. And an update on a story we mentioned about 2 weeks ago, the missing Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads have been recovered. The Penguins first telling us the giveaways went missing between arriving in the Pittsburgh area and being delivered to the arena. Yesterday, they announced the items were recovered with the help of a, quote, special cargo recovery team. No other details, including the ransom, were reported, but the bobbleheads are now back in the rightful hands of the Penguins.
You should call Peter Schwartz. He would know.
Well, he'll have one soon.
Yeah. Peter's never been a giveaway he doesn't love. But here's the thing. So this was simply a tracking number issue is sort of how they're painting it. Like, these 18,000 bobbleheads just sort of, they got in the wrong.
Maybe. I prefer the idea of a SWAT team, like coming through the roof of some shady warehouse, yeah. ropes, they drop in, there's a box.
There's an illegal poker game going
exactly.
on.
Exactly, on top of the box of bobbleheads. And they just take them and they go, and there's Ipe in the corner making a bet.
Yeah, Ipe so somehow in part of the story.
Yeah. Ipe somehow just has head in his hands because he's now losing to all these poker players because apparently he sucks at all this stuff.
I don't know about clearly, but someone thought this was another kind of shipment and then realized they were bobblehead and they were like, damn it.
Oh, they thought it was high-end.
They thought it was like jewels or something, you know?
Jewels.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jewel thieves.
Yeah, they were like, our intel was bad.
But yeah, they move jewels a lot on tractor trailers.
Everyone knows stereos?
You smuggle heroin in bobbleheads. That's a fact as old as time, right?
How do you think Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads? There's heroin in there?
How do you think Escobar built his empire?
Through bobbleheads?
Yeah, with Sammy Sosa bobbleheads. No, I'm scared. I have no idea.
CC Sabathia as Yoda.
Do you guys
bobblehead.
Not watch shows about cartels? They do take everyday products and sneak drugs yeah. in through them.
Well, I remember
bobbleheads would be a great idea.
Funko Pops, too. That's another one. The heads are bigger.
Oh, right.
Good idea.
Actually, I got one of those that are Secret Santa. We should crack it open and see if there's anything in there. I remember the movie Crash, was it? No, not Crash. The one about...
About the drugs? Yeah.
Catherine Zeta-Jones was in it.
Yeah, and the kid from That 70s Show was in it. Topher Grace.
Topher Grace.
What the heck was that movie called? Anyway, were they doing
well,
that?
Well, they had... That was part of the way they were smuggling it. It was like children's toys.
Yes,
they dissolved
exactly.
in
That's
water and made into cocaine.
Right. Didn't they have...
Traffic
a,
was
yeah.
the name of it.
Traffic. I think there was a Mario Lemieux bobblehead in that. No?
Is that where they got the idea? And then 20 years later, they executed it?
Yeah. No, I have no idea. But... that would be a cool movie right now. Like bobbleheads, like a kid's like, oh, mommy, I finally got my Mookie Betts bobblehead. And it takes a big sniff.
Oh, God.
That's dark.
Wow.
I'm just saying, like, I watch too much Narcos. I'm sorry.
Just act in movies. Don't write them.
Oh, yeah, by the way. Happy Gilmore, too.
I was going to say, did you get a call from Sandler?
No.
Everyone knows Perloff has been in many Sandler movies, yeah. including Hustle was the last one where you had like four lines. It was amazing.
Dan Patrick talked about it yesterday on the show.
Is he going to be in it? He wasn't in the first one, though.
No, that was before his relationship started with Adam Sandler. So he said that he called Sandman joking. He said, how many days should I set aside for the movie? This is on DP show. And Dan said that Sandler said, 3 days, Danny, you're going to play yourself.
Yes, awesome.
That being said, since I am not on the Dan Patrick Show, the odds are I'm not getting in it, and I'm not getting you guys in it.
That's okay. We never expected to be along for the ride.
I was like, do I send that text to Dan? I'm like, Dan, I'm available in May. I'd be like, I don't think so, McLovin. Not happening.
I mean, but Dan and none of the other Danettes were in Hustle, and you were in Hustle. You played reporter number two, and you executed flawlessly.
Dan was in Hustle. Yeah, he had a scene. He was playing himself. He was on camera. It was as if it was a clip from the show talking.
Boat Cruise.
So Dan, pretty much.
Yes, Dan was.
Dan's been in 23 Sandler movies, but I
23?
Think 23. Yeah, something like that. It's crazy.
Wow.
He said the number. Maybe I'm exaggerating. It's a lot. I mean,
that's
because
Sandler's making 15 a year.
Yeah. I mean, listen,
two are good.
And by the way, I could rate them if we ever want to do that. Dan and Hubie Halloween is drop dead funny. He's a hysterical actor for some reason. He's so deadpan. Anyway, that's enough. I can say whatever. I'm not getting to Happy Gilmore 2 here. No matter how much I compliment Dan's acting.
Dan is a great actor. He's great at everything. I think that your relationship with Sandler, though, has now transcended DP.
No. Dan and Adam have a really cool relationship.
Yeah.
This is all about Dan. Dan's funny. He has relationships with Will Ferrell.
Yes.
Legit. Friends, Darius Rucker and Adam Sandler, among others, but those three have always stood out to me. I mean,
I'm sure that something transcends it, but there's something big in common with those three guys.
What's that?
Well, they're about the same age, aren't they?
And I would imagine. No, not exactly. I'm not sure that's what it was. Maybe they were big Sports Center fans.
That's what I was saying. It's like that's the peak, I would imagine, of both their sports fandom before their careers may have kicked off, and also Dan and Keith and his. I mean, Dan's in. Continued to be super famous and successful, but that SportsCenter peak was got a lot of Dan helped get a lot of people really hooked on sports and scratched that itch for a lot of people.
Oh, absolutely. I don't, you know, it's funny, the Will Ferrell thing, he was a big fan of the Dan Patrick Show when it broke off because it was in Fox Sports LA.
Oh, got it.
So Dan's just a great dinner guest too. I think these guys.
Good stories.
Yeah, I mean, it's famous people have a different way of hanging out that I don't really understand. Like,
you've been privy to a lot of this, though, and you still don't get it?
I'm like a wallflower and nervous as heck. Dan is the life of the party, and him and Darius are old friends. Like, they just do things differently, these famous people. Yeah. Trust me. Whatever Dan has that quality, it's tough to replicate. So, and also, he's really funny. Have you ever seen him as the water slide guy in Grown Ups 1? Oh, my God. It is... he wears these. Just one more role. He wears this Larry Bird outfit in one movie. I don't even remember what it was. He wears short shorts. Dan will do anything for Sandler, so that's why he gets it. I would love to be in Happy Gilmore. Happy Gilmore is an important movie to you, right, Maggie?
Definitely. I mean, Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore. What it represented was Billy Madison is the first one for Sandler, and it was such a huge thing because you're coming off of his SNL, where it's the Denise show, and he's doing all the fun songs, and he's Opera Man, and he's Pickle with a Mustache guy, a Pickle for a Mustache guy, and he's doing all these amazing things. Then he goes to Billy Madison, and it's an unbelievable hit. I mean, awesome movie, hilarious. It's hard to make the second one, especially for comedies. And the fact that he followed up Billy Madison with Happy Gilmore, it's like two bangers back to back. It's like having two great albums back to back for a band. And so for me, that was right in my wheelhouse of being like, you know, 10 years old, 12 years old, probably.
Yeah. No, it's a great movie. That was the second movie. What was the third? Was Wedding Singer
was
the third?
Wedding Singer was the third.
Jeez, what a start. Dan came
and
on.
And then 50, and then a Big Daddy, and then 50 First Dates. Like, yeah. It's funny, we joke now, Sandler, oh, he puts out 15 movies a year, blah, blah, blah. But the first part of that IMDb is ridiculous.
So Dan came on a little bit later because Oberman was supposed to be in one of the movies, and he couldn't make it. So Adam called Dan, and Dan was so funny that he brought him on every movie.
Wow.
And then your boy got into Hustle.
Yep. You did great.
I mean, you guys
were really legitimately good in that movie.
I told you guys remember me? Thinks you're an actor, not a radio host.
But the week of was probably my best role.
Non-speaking.
I was person number three walking across the parking lot. I mean, you guys see me walk. It was dramatic.
It's distinct.
Yes.
Stand out.
Because it rained, so we were supposed to all have speaking lines, and it all got canceled because it rained, so they couldn't do the outdoor shoot, so they had us walking across the parking lot. Movie business is rough, Maggie. One day you're on top.
Yeah. Well, next, on top.
The next you're doing a one-hit wonder bracket on the radio.
Talking about 867-5309 versus...
And come clean.
Come clean. come clean, Eileen.
By the way, who let the dog out versus 99 Luft Balloons? Ooh, I'm going to be following that all day long.
855-212-4CBS.
That could be the radio clip that Happy Gilmore's listening to, and he goes, I got to get back to playing golf. And it pushes him back to the course.
Can we sort of...
Oh, he's listening to the Maggie Pearl Love Show and forces him back to golf.
Can we DJ that and sort of mesh the two songs? 99, who let the dogs out?
Who let the 99 out, balloons out? Really,
All right, Kaplan, get on that.
I'll say Dr. Dre.
Yeah. I'm sure he's got nothing to do. 855-212-4CBS coming up. The latest draft rumor that Perloff is obsessed with. We'll get to that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Back on Maggie and Perloff. So earlier we had a discussion about the number two overall pick that J.J. McCarthy is now possibly going to the Washington Commanders. But there's another draft rumor. We're doing a daily draft rumor here, Maggie, until late April in Detroit. I got to tell you, yesterday it came from the owners' meeting, and our guy, Sean Payton.
I think that's realistic. I think it's realistic. I know your report suggested otherwise, but it's realistic.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
No, it did. I would. I think it's realistic. What's hard to predict, though, is like what's on the receiving end. You know, I think it's good to be Monty today at Arizona.
Sorry, I should have prefaced that with the question. The question was to Sean Payton, do you think it's possible the Broncos will move up in the draft, presumably to get the quarterback they want? I'll tell you, that's absolutely happening. The fact that he just said, have you ever heard a coach say that's realistic? And the guy actually gave him an opportunity to backtrack. He's like, no, it's realistic. It's happening. So it seems like he might want to go up to number four. Look at the quarterbacks on his team right now. He has Jarrett Stidham and Ben DiNucci. That's the depth chart, Maggie.
Yeah, I know. Not good. Although they did sign Jarrett Stidham last year, like on the first day of free agency. I get it.
It's got to be quarterback. If he's trading at four, it's got to be trying to get J.J. McCarthy.
Well, but here's my question. If this is true and Sean Payton is just like putting out their business this early before the draft, right? And this is just, I got to be honest, I am really disagreeing with Sean Payton's media strategy since he got the job in Denver. I'm really disagreeing with it. I was calling out Nathaniel Hackett in the way that he did. Great for us, not good for him.
Uh-huh.
How the Russell Wilson stuff was handled, I did not think, you know, open himself up to criticism there. And now you would say it's good to be Monty Osifor, who's the general manager of the Cardinals. So you're implying you're just moving up to four. So does that mean you know something about the New England Patriots are not open for business at three? Or what is going on? Like, I don't know why you would put this out there. To me, like, if Sean Payton is actually being this candid and forthcoming, what the hell are you doing, man? Why would you ever? You're putting your GM in a really bad spot by making this public. And he needs help anyway. George Payton is underwater as the GM of the Broncos. It's been misstep after misstep.
Possible that Sean Payton's playing chess while you're stuck here on checkers.
The chess move?
Oh, he is manipulating this draft like nobody's business. No, I have no idea.
What the chess, I was gonna say, that's why it's chess.
Why it's chess, because we don't understand it this time.
I love it if they really want like Marvin Harrison or something, and he's trying to get someone else to trade into four. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know.
We should keep a close eye. It's late March. This is exactly when trades happen. Somebody's going to move up this week probably to get into that.
Well, we already saw the Vikings do it. The Vikings already made a trade to get a second first round pick.
No,
but try to move up.
This is when the Trey Lance trade happened. Right. This is when I think this might be when the Bears Panthers. I have to double check when that happened. So anyway, someone's going to try and get in the top five because clearly, EJ and I have this bet. Will 4.5 quarterbacks go in the first round? I heard that is the over-under that's actually in Vegas. EJ says under, I say over. Over is at minus 280 right now. So it does seem like the Broncos are taking a quarterback. Everyone's in the quarterback business. You do bring up a good question. Why does Sean Payton have to share this with us? But then again,
might keep this one a little closer to the fest.
It feels like a little like an old Bill Parcells, like just like crotchety old coach who's just like, I don't even care anymore. I'm just going to say it.
Yeah, that's not who I want. Unless I'm getting Bill Parcells results consistently.
Well, I mean, that's Sean Payton, obviously, is a Bill Parcells mentee, fashions himself as the new Bill Parcells. You're in the media. You're supposed to like honest coaches.
But I don't know. I can't take this at its face value. Or maybe, I don't know, but maybe Sean Payton had too much coffee and now he's just spilling like the entire Broncos draft board.
He was in the media for a year. Maybe he still wants to get clicks.
I think he probably still wanted to stay in the media. And the Broncos made him an offer.
He was interviewing all over the place.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to love starting over with a rookie quarterback. That's exactly what he signed up for. All right, coming up, lots more to do, including Shohei Ohtani. The latest from his press conference yesterday. We've got a few.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.